Sure, we need to, as we spend time with each other and we in session number six right now, we need to have a lot of grace with ourselves. Remember, going into an operation sometimes, and I've just had two or three operations in my life, it's sometimes tough, you know, just the challenge to open up, the challenge to let go, you know, the unknown. But we're not going alone. The Lord is with us. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our healer. And so I want to encourage you to have grace and to walk through these processes. And I wish we could spend hours just discussing some of this stuff and pray through all of them. But prayerfully, take these things to the Lord as we're dealing with the father wound. And what we did is in the first session, in session number five, we looked at what causes a father wound. And now we're going to look at four roots of a father wound. And then we're going to later on deal with some of them a bit more in depth. So what is a root? A root is that foundational things in our lives. You know, the tree can only be as high and strong as it's rooted into the ground, because these massive trees, when the wind blows, the root system is very important. And so roots causes a tree to grow, but then also to produce certain fruit. And sometimes we need to look at that. And so the first one is the root of rejection. You know, sometimes we grow up, if we look at the root of rejection, we can see there's a lot of cycles that can kick off. The first thing is that we start looking for acceptance and we harden our heart, or we go into rebellion. If we did not get acceptance from the homes we grew up in, especially in our identity, and say, you are my beloved son, I'm pleased with you. Before you do a lot of things, I accept you for who you are, not for what you do. Then what begins to happen, we go and look for acceptance. We go and try to perform, or we rebel and we say, no, I don't need that anymore. I'm going to be a self-made man. I'm going to be a self-made woman. I'm going to be strong. And you see so many people hardening their hearts. And once you harden your heart, there's a massive challenge, because then you're not open to vulnerability. You're not open to healing. And the good news, that's why we have the gospel. The gospel saves us. It heals us. But remember that word that we said right at the beginning of peace, the shalom peace of God, means the wholeness. God wants us to be whole, not perfect. And as we embark on this journey and we deal with rejection, God begins to accept us. So first we need to bring those things to the Lord, and we need to say, Lord, come and heal me deeply. Take out this root of rejection, because out of the root of rejection comes the fear of rejection. I used to sometimes be in a place and then I would fear that people are going to reject me. I would think like, oh, what does that one think of me? And what is it? And I would just react all the time to try and please people. I even played very well, you know, sport, and I just performed because I wanted people's acceptance. And then when I finally came to the Lord, I realized like, hey, the Lord is the one who accepts me. He accepts me before I perform or strive or compete. And we live sometimes, especially in the cultures in the West that is shame-based and not honor-based, we sometimes live in a culture of shaming each other, always being suspicious, always slandering other people. Why? Because if you can break down other people, you're going to feel better about yourself. And we have some bad cultures, especially in the West, that's just based on shame, and we're going to deal with that. The second root that we need to look at is the root of the fear of failure. You know, if we don't deal with the fear of failure, and maybe sometimes, you know, we've grown up in a place where there's sibling rivalry, there's competition in the home, you're so afraid that you're going to fail that you actually believe you have failed before you've even started to do things. You know, so if you have the fear of failure, what begins to happen, you perform or strive because you want to be the best. You're going to prove that you're not a failure. Or on the other side, there can just be passivity, apathy, indifference. I just don't care. I don't care what people think. I have my own opinion. I'm going to be independent. Because if I can have people away from me, I don't need to deal with them. And I can just, hey, I don't really care. And you see sometimes people that are hard, callous, indifferent towards other people. They're just not loving. We even see that scripture says that in the last days, it will be like the days of Noah again. People will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then he says, the love of many will grow cold. It's not love. We see in the world a lot of lust, a lot of stuff, and we can live in this space of always having a fear of failure. I need to compete with others around me because, you know what? If I'm better than somebody else, hey, I'm going to be accepted. I'm going to be loved. I'm all right, you know? And then people become workaholics. People live to try and please others, performing, striving. And God wants to break out. He wants to take out these roots of rejection and the fear of failure. Another big root that we find sometimes in our families is the fear of abandonment or illegitimacy. You know, we have controlling, manipulating others. There's sometimes like really manipulation in the home, you know, especially if the roles are mixed up between father and mother. There's indecisiveness. Some people just can't take responsibility for anything. They feel illegitimate, unworthy. There's constant shame. They just don't feel like there's any value. They can't contribute to society or take responsibility for greater society. And so illegitimacy, I remember there was once this lady we were praying for. She was an orphan and she grew up in a great home. But she had this intense desire to know who her real parents was. And she just could not commit to any people in relationship. And she went through a lot of marital problems because she thought that her husband is going to walk out on her. And it was a loving husband, a great guy. But eventually they got divorced because there was just this intense fear. She felt like unworthy because her parents dropped her. They weren't there for her, and it caused such an insecurity, and it just started to flow over and created a lot of cycles in her home. And so sometimes this rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of illegitimacy, and then especially the fourth one, shame. Shame brings a deep-rooted of, I am not worthy. I'm not valued, you know? I'm not good enough. You know, the difference between shame and guilt is very simple. Shame is there's something wrong with me. Guilt is I've done wrong things, you know? And so when we have that competition in our hearts all the time, we're always going to compare ourselves with other people, with things that happen around us. And we need deep healing and restoration in our hearts and in our lives to say to the Lord, Lord, come and break this fear of failure. Come and break this shame over our lives. And so these are four of the major roots of just this father wound that is caused sometimes just through words, or sometimes there wasn't any words, but just a lot of actions over our lives that causes deep rootedness. And now we begin to grow up on that, and we grow through that, and we produce fruit of that. And now we want to change the fruit, but we must actually realize I need to get to the root, you know. And so even in Jesus' life, the disciples and the Pharisees and Sadducees challenged Jesus, and they said, like, hey, who are you? Are you really the Messiah? And you know what? He was so steadfast and secure in who he was that he said the following. He said, I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. What a profound, you know, statement. In the book of John, seven times he said, I am. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. Can you think of the rest? Seven times he said, I am. Profound statements to say who I am. And not what I do, but who I am. So Jesus was so secure in his identity. And many people asked him, are you really the Messiah? And he just actually, there were probably just three people he revealed to them. One of them, the woman at the well. One of them, the blind beggar, said, yes, I am the Messiah. You know, but he didn't go around, needed to try and perform or show the world like I'm the Messiah. The devil tempted him to do that by saying, hey, turn the stones into bread, and then everyone would have come out, and he had his audience right there to preach to them and say, hey, I'm the Messiah. But he knew that he came from the Father, and his primary identity came from the Father. And so he often withdrew. And so before we end this session, we need to look at this whole thing of rejection, because unfortunately that causes a lot of cycles in our lives. And so when rejection kicks in, and there's a little diagram that you must look at. When rejection kicks in, it causes a lot of loneliness, self-pity. You know, we just feel like, wow, why did I grow up in this place? Why did this happen to me? Why is he in such, did he get such a good deal, or she got such a good family? And look at me, I don't know even who my parents are. then misery, depression, despair or hopelessness kicks in, and even a spirit of death or suicide. You know, these things all begin to happen, and there's sometimes these big lies that minister to us. And it's deeply rooted in this idea of we're rejected. I'm not worth anything. I've not got acceptance. And then it's almost like a vacuum. Remember, there's two reactions to rejection. The one is I'm going to look for acceptance. The other one is I'm going to go into rebellion. And so we'll see that because sometimes then you'll see on the next slide, we build a defense where we say, if I'm in a rebellion, no one will hurt me again. I've got then superficial happiness. I can be very talkative. And some, especially people that are very extrovert, they're the show of the party. They're the encouragers. Everybody loves them. But deep inside, they're actually so hungry for acceptance. Will somebody just love me? And people are very, very desperate for that acceptance. People get addicted to acceptance. And that's why some perform. Some build walls around their hearts. And it's so easy then to become hardened in that way. And we need healing. And that's why we'll see in scripture, so many times people pray and say, Lord, give me a soft heart. And God said to Jeremiah and to the prophets in the Old Testament, beautiful, he says, I'm going to take out your heart of stone and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Because you can believe again. You can be childlike again. And that's how we enter into the kingdom of God. Because God restores us. God heals us. God gives back to us 100-fold, scripture says. You know, and Jeremiah and some of the prophets said, you know, God gives and he restores the years that the locusts have eaten, the swarming locust, the chewing locust, the consuming locust. Why does he mention three different locusts? Because one part of the locust ate at the root, others at the bark of the tree, and others ate the leaves and the fruit of the tree. And the Lord says, in every area, I'm going to restore you. And restoration means he puts something, not just even back to its original purpose, he actually makes it stronger than what it was before. You know, isn't that amazing? Like with the prodigal son. The prodigal son, in the first time, and we mentioned this before, I mentioned this, you know, he didn't have a ring, he didn't have a robe, and he didn't have shoes. And the father was waiting for him when he came back, and he had to come back. When he came to his senses, he says, it's better to be a slave in my father's house than to sit here with the pigs. And when he came running back to the father came running to him, which was just completely out of the Jewish culture for a father to run. But that father was waiting, and then he embraced the son and he gave him a ring, gave him a robe, talks about identity and authority, shoes on his feet to go and represent the father, to do transactions on behalf of the father. Wow, what a picture. Probably one of the most profound stories that Jesus has told in the New Testament. This the same, and it's is the story of the lost coin. You know, this lady loses this one coin, but when she finds the coin, she throws a party and she invites all of the friends to come. And the amazing thing is, the party probably cost more than what the coin was worth. But it talks about honoring, celebration. And when we walk into that and we start to believe that God isn't like this tense, spoiled sport that looks down at us and just want to be sin conscious, but he actually enjoys us. He actually takes pleasure for us to spend time with him. He's got a greater desire to be with us than we with him. Then that root of rejection begins to disappear. You know, we sometimes in the root of rejection become a fighter. There's resentment, hatred, and you see people are destructive in their families. That's why sometimes people can just walk away from a family, divorce, and go to be with somebody else because they become so self-obsessed, so self-focused. But what is it? I'm going to be in charge and I'm going to show the world I don't really care. And then you get these hardened hearts, and the Lord wants to heal us. You know, all of us, and we're going to pray for that God will heal and give us those soft hearts to firstly find his acceptance and to let him heal us in our hearts to say, Lord, I am your beloved. I am your precious one. I am the apple of your eye. Many people don't believe that, and therefore we mistrust God. But when we look at this rejection, the fear of failure, the shame, all these things, the illegitimacy, the abandonment, maybe you can identify with some of them, and then you need to ask the Lord, yeah, to heal you. You need to go and look at the cycles in your lives and say, Father, I break that, because with this generation, it's going to stop. It's not going to continue. That's why Jesus died. That's why he died for sinners like me and sinners like you. And I've just seen that, how much God has healed me, but also how he can heal you, and how people that have been so angry. I remember this one guy that we prayed for once, and he was so angry. He was so intense. And then the Lord gave me a vision, an open vision. And I saw an old man walking down the corridor, going to his room, knocking on the door. And there was a little boy sleeping on that bed. And the older man took the pillow and put it over the son's face. And he tried to suffocate the son, tried to kill the son. And then the Lord showed to me that it was actually that guy sitting in front of me. It was his father that tried to kill him. You know, and that's where all the anger came. He was so angry with any people in leadership, any people that, you know, in authority, because he thought that people in authority are always abusing their place, and they're out to kill him. You know, and so it's so beautiful to see how the Lord healed this young man. He's a principal of a school today, a father, they call him father. God has restored so much in their lives. And so that's the same what God wants to do. He wants to restore. Maybe you want to write down your story, you want to look at those roots and say, Lord, I want these cycles to stop in my life. I don't want them to continue, because you are my perfect father. And remember, God has never intended for you to be hurt. God didn't hurt you so that you can have a testimony. God created a perfect world, and we sinned. We walked away. We transgressed. And part of that transgression is, hey, Adam and Eve, the first thing, they covered their nakedness. They try to hide from God. They try to do things in their own strength. But we can't do it in our own strength. We can't receive healing, because he's the healer. You know, we can't do it in our own strength. We can receive healing, but not in our own strength. But let him heal you. Let him set you free. Let him break the chains of bondage over you. And I'm going to pray. The task number 5 there is to identify the top things of the root cycles in our lives, of the father wound, and then to bring these roots to the Lord and ask him to heal us. You know, it's difficult, you know, but sometimes we also need people in our lives that can help us. So if it's too tough for you, then go to somebody that you trust and say, hey, I need you to pray with me. Because sometimes, like Lazarus, Jesus calls forth Lazarus, but he tells the friends first, you need to take away the gravestone. You need to, you know, once he's healed, you need to unwrap him from all the stuff that is. Because we sometimes cover so much. We try to cover ourselves. Why? We want to hide. We don't want to be vulnerable. We especially don't want to be transparent with God or with other people. Why? Because we fear of being hurt again. But that's the good news. The Lord is here to heal us. The Lord is here to set the captives free, you know. And he is so interested in your wholeness. He is so interested in you becoming that mother that can care, you know. That mother that will not abandon the children. That mother that will not abuse the children or her position. Or that father that takes care and takes the lead and is the priest and the prophet and the king in the home. So I want to pray for us, and I want to pray for you. In the next session, we're going to deal specifically with shame and look at God's heart for the wounded and the broken. And because shame is also a deep-rooted thing in our culture that we need to trust the Lord to break over our lives. But as we think about this, as you take some time out in this week, go and pray about it. Don't just go through it and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to think about it. Let the Lord do a deep work in you. You know, deep calls unto deep. And he's the physician. So I'm going to pray for that healing. I'm going to pray for that freedom, because that's why Jesus died. The blood of Jesus gives us boldness to stand before God himself. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for a freedom to break free from a slavery mentality. Lord, we bring these roots to you. Lord, the root of rejection, the root of shame. Lord, these things that sometimes, Lord, cause us so much pain and hurt in our lives. But we pray that you will unwrap us. You will take out these roots and you'll plant in us that we'll be rooted in the love of Christ, rooted in the greatness of Christ, rooted in, Lord, your freedom that you bought for us on the cross. And we want to stand in that position, Father, to receive a new identity, to receive your love, your grace, your peace. And Lord, come and set us free from the lies of the past. As we look at these things, Father, we're not doing it alone. You're with us. And Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can return to the Father's home. Thank you that you put a new ring, a robe, and shoes on us so that we can walk in the fullness of Jesus, your Son. Lord, we break every sense of illegitimacy. We break every fear of rejection. We break every fear of failure, every lie that the devil wants to bring to take us out of our inheritance. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.